Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to go to a clip and listen to this clip, and then it really has to do with everything we're talking about tonight. So go ahead and take her away, Kyle.
The last 2 years, the FBI has investigated more than 40 cases of rail sabotage in Washington state alone, in one state. Now, a lot of those attacks involve so-called shunt devices. Those are wires stretched between tracks that interfere with the train's electrical signals and cause derailments. In one incident, just before Christmas in 2020, a shunt caused a train to derail in Custer, Washington. That train spilled 30,000 gallons of crude oil and forced locals to evacuate their homes. Well, that's not the environmental disaster that Joe Biden talks about, because, of course, he can't buy solar panels from the Chinese to fix it. But it was, objectively speaking, an act of terrorism. The interesting thing is, very often, in fact, in the majority of cases, people who commit acts of terrorism against infrastructure, whoever they are never punished. And the ones who are caught aren't really punished. One woman who tried to destroy trains using a shunt got out of jail after only a year. Oh. So no one's paying any attention and no one really seems to care, because what does that have to do with environmental racism and climate? And possibly as a result of that attitude, there are an awful lot of train derailments in this country, many more than you may realize. In the last calendar year, more than 1,000 trains went off the tracks in the United States. Well, how's that for a metaphor? Just today, two more trains derailed. One of them was in South Carolina and one was in Texas near Houston. The train near Houston was also carrying hazardous materials, as so many trains are. What's going on here exactly? We're not even going to guess. But we can tell you the chaos is not limited to our rail system. There have also been many recent attacks on our power grid. Very few of those attacks have been widely reported. Last year, there were more than 100 attacks of them in the United States, attacks on our power grid. In North Carolina this winter, for example, nearly 50,000 people lost their power in freezing temperatures when somebody shot up two energy substations. And so on. Why is that not a big story? Oh, it's not a story at all. And then, of course, at the same time, we've also seen a series of bizarre accidents befalling the food industry, threatening our food supply. That would include unexplained fires and plane crashes and processing plants to chicken feed that seems to stop egg production. Boy, next they'll be coming for the water. Oh, wait, they are. Less than a month into the Biden administration was also a highly sophisticated attack on the water supply outside Tampa.
Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galtieri says a water treatment plant operator first noticed the remote access hack. The bad actor increased the amount of sodium hydroxide, or lye, in the water supply from 100 parts per million to more than 11,000. For the 15,000 residents of Oldsmar, Florida, the increase of sodium hydroxide in the water supply could have caused vomiting, chest, and abdominal pain.
This type of activity and this type of hacking of critical infrastructure is not necessarily limited to just water supply systems. It can be anything.
Oh, an attack on our water supply. That's weird. I didn't read that in the New York Times. But what's interesting, not to connect the dots or anything, that was not the only attack on our water supply that year. In January 2021, there was a similar effort to poison the water treatment plant that serves the San Francisco Bay Area. An unidentified hacker accessed the facility's computers remotely. According to NBC, quote, after logging in, the hacker deleted programs that the water plant used to treat drinking water. Now, fortunately, in this case, somebody noticed it. The next day, the attack was discovered and those programs were reinstalled, so nobody got poisoned. But they kept trying. There were similar hacks of water treatment facilities in California in August of 2021. There was one in Maine in July of 2021. There was one in Pennsylvania in May of 2021. In Nevada in March. In New Jersey in September of 2020. In Kansas in March of 2019. And so on. So who's looking after our water supply? Water? That's kind of basic. Well, that's the job of the EPA. But what does protecting the water have to do with passing out cash in the name of remediating environmental racism? Oh, nothing! So they're not paying attention. In fact, they're not paying attention to such an extent that even the Washington Post, which is a shill for the administration if there ever was one, pointed out that, quote, for more than two decades, the EPA has not been resourced or organized to secure the nation's water and wastewater sector against physical and cyber threats. Wait a second. So nobody's paying attention to the most critical infrastructure, not the racist roads, but food, water, energy, transportation infrastructure. Food, water, energy, infrastructure. What does that add up to? Oh, that adds up to a country. You can't have a country without those things. And in every single case, whatever the cause, our food, water, energy, and infrastructure are being degraded. Who knows why? If you didn't know any better, you think there might be a war going on. Why is no one...
All righty, folks, we're back. Now, let me... This goes right along with it before I go there, though. Folks, we are still 5,200 short. 5,200 short. We have approximately, right now, 45 minutes. 45 minutes to raise 5,200 tonight. So we got to hear from you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. By the way, we have Dr. Cass Ingram's book, How to Survive Forced Vaccinations. How to Survive Forced Vaccinations, with a donation of $25 or more. Also, we have, for the donation of $25 or more, we have our CD of all those songs that you like, the favorites here on the CDs. And then you have, also you have the Little Red Book. Now, the Little Red Book we're a little short on, but we'll have a new supply coming in. That is the Bible question and answer book. It is pure dynamite. It's what we pastors use. Believe me, you'll love it. And so it takes you right to where whatever the subject is you're looking in the Bible, you want to find out about, it takes you to all the verses and shows you just how to go there. And it's a lot of us pastors use these. So anyhow, but you got to let us know if you want it. If you don't ask for it, then we won't send it to you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We want to stay on the station you're listening to us on. If we don't hear from you, we won't. Jane from Georgia, $70. Thank you. She pledges 70. Thank you, Jane. All right. Now, let me read this here. Now, I'm going to pick it up where we, that article I left before. But what is known about the 2020 election is that Mark Zuckerberg handed out, through foundations, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that local election officials used to influence the results of recruiting voters from Democratic precincts. Even worse, social and legacy media worked together to suppress accurate reporting about the scandalous overseas business deals that were benefiting the Biden crime family. Dozens of intelligence experts falsely labeled the reporting about details contained in a laptop computer abandoned by Hunter Biden. One of the things you're hearing him say is, well, you know, almost 100 of former FBI agents and signed on to that. They said that was real. Folks, they got 100 out of thousands that refused. Thousands said, no, we won't do it. We're not going to do it. That's a lie, and we're not going to lie. And they lied, and they did it under oath. That here, abandoned by Hunter Biden, as Russian disinformation, when actually it was the truth. And so here now, the Media Research Center later found out through a poll that 36% of self-described Biden voters said they were not aware of evidence linking Joe Biden personally to those details. 13% of those voters, 4.6% of all Biden voters, said they had known the facts, they would never have voted for Joe Biden. The change undoubtedly would have had cost Biden victories in multiple swing states and would have installed President Trump in his second term. Brunson is representing himself in the case filed in the case in 2021 in Utah. He appealed to the Supreme Court after lower courts disagreed with him. He eventually went directly to the Supreme Court by invoking the High Court's Rule 11. Just the News reported, which allows a case to bypass a lower appeals decision if it is of such imperative public importance as to justify deviation from the normal appellate practice and to require immediate determination in this court. He argues simply that if there is no penalty for election officials who violate their oath of office, the oaths essentially are worthless or not binding. Just The news explained a rigged election is equivalent to war since both put in power a victor, he argues, and therefore allegations of a rigged election must be investigated. He said the oath of office requires that aid and comfort cannot be given to these levying war through a rigged election. Further, he said a rigged presidential result is a threat to the Constitution. The members of the GOP in Congress had requested an emergency audit of the election in disputed states, and about a total of 147 Republican lawmakers objected to the certification of Biden's election results. And so, there you go. I'll just stop right there and let you pick it up from right there, Ken. Are you still there, Ken, or did we lose you?
I think we've lost Ken.
He's still connected.
He's still connected. Oh,
yeah, apologies. I hit mute because I had to cough. I apologize.
Okay,
no problem.
My bad. No, this is a great explanation there, Pastor, and it is well stated there. Your quotes from the article really explains everything quite nicely. It is so interesting to me that the Brunsons are now reaching out and saying, American, you can help us in this fight too. And the way you can do that is if you were to file an affidavit and submit it to the court under our court case number. And as I mentioned earlier in the last hour, I'm waiting for Darren actually to give me the final tweaks on it. If you were to go to cedarhillscitizens.org, there's 9 articles about using the Constitution to save the Constitution, and it highlights the Brunson cases. Article number 3 is an affidavit that you could download yourself right now. Put your names into that, go to a notary and sign it in front of the notary and send that into the Supreme Court, and it will attach to their case. That's a beautiful thing. Darren's working on something literally as we're speaking to explain how you can file a similar document. He's calling it Declaration of Charges, and that can be submitted to the court electronically. I'm kind of a paper guy. I like to put my signature on things, and so I'm going to go the hard paper route. But if you like to do things electronically, we'll have that information up a little bit later tonight, and it's being sent out to thousands of people. You too can put your John Hancock, if you will. Actually, that would be the Declaration of Independence, but you can put your George Washington, as it were, on that Constitution by supporting the Constitution, by supporting the Brunsons, by simply putting your affidavit in. You can go to Cedar Hills, plural, cedarhillscitizens.org and get a series of 9 articles, that including what the good pastor was just reading there from the newspaper articles that you were reading there. So it's all there. It's all available. And we can all get in on this fight. And if I might add from a spiritual perspective, Pastor, the good Lord wants us to stand up for things. You harp about that a lot, and it's true. This is how we qualify ourselves for the kingdom, is by standing up. And the Brunsons have done the hard work. We just need to step in there and say, hey, we're with them. We think there's treason here. Please hear the case. If you don't, you're part of the treason. Justices, thank you very much.
Well, you know what? You know, they could actually say this, too, and go right from God's word. There's one absolute authoritative book of law. That's the King James Bible. The King James Bible is an authorized book of law, and it is, in fact, not only the most authoritative, but it has more jurisdiction, more authority than any other document in existence. Right here is the Word of God. Now, they can actually write in that, too, to the court, saying, from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God, God has commanded, okay, that we resist tyranny. From Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And you can start right in there with Noah. You can go to Moses. You can go to his parents. You can go to Shiphrah and Puah. You can go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go to Daniel, Jeremiah, all through that. You can go resistance. And the number one hero of the faith is the Lord Jesus himself. He resisted tyranny.
Yes.
And, you know, the court needs to hear that.
He didn't take kindly to those money changers in the temple, did he? That's not an elevator music Jesus like so many people see, that they say, oh, he would just be kind. No, he stood up for his father's house.
All right, you're absolutely right. All right, let me see. We have Carmen from Connecticut pledged 125. Beverly in New York pledges 100. Let's see. Denizio from New York pledges 10. Anonymous in Texas pledges 100. And so, praise the good Lord. Now, what is the situation with Anita from Orlando? No, we're not doing that right now tonight, okay? But, you know, we may get into that later on, okay? But, all righty, yeah, we have, we're not, you know, when we do Pledge Week, we don't take calls, and people are calling in, they want to get in on the air and talk about what we're talking about, but during Pledge Week, we don't take calls. Anyhow, there you go.
Yes.
So, now, the question is here, will the Supreme Court have the courage to do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have to do. I'm going to try to do what you said. I want to put that, send me as much of that information you can so we can put it up on our website.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And so that way we can have as many people write them that letter as soon as possible, okay?
Right.
And
right.
Quote the
and
Bible.
Just a reminder, in the meanwhile, just for anybody who's listening again, they've got their pencil ready to go now. Go to cedarhillscitizens.org. That's cedarhillscitizens.org. I'll spell it real fast. That's C as in cat, EDARHILLSCITIZENS.org. And once again, there's 9 articles there called Using the Constitution to Save the Constitution. Article number 3 is Darren Brunson's affidavit. That's a 6-page affidavit. It is stellar. It is beautiful. It is law. And it reminds the Supreme Court of their duty, their oath, and their obligation to hear a case that relates to treason that's in their court docket right now, case number 22-380. And then, of course, article number 9 is something we're about to post tonight. It's not there yet. I've got the space for it. It'll be going out in a newsletter tonight to thousands of people. But what that is a declaration of charges, which is an electronic approach to filing. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read a little bit from it. Is that all right, Pastor?
Sure, go right ahead, yeah.
This is Darren Brunson putting his own name. I'm going to leave his address and things out. But imagine your name, Pastor Ernie, or, you know, whoever John Doe or Sally Doe out there listening, just put your name in here and see how it sounds to you. My name is Darren G. Brunson, and I'm an American citizen. I currently reside at blah, 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 with his and my mailing address is such and such. I'm of legal age, and I hereby make the following testimony of my own free will and choice, and that the facts I testify to are truthful to the best of my ability. Number 2. This declaration of charges is protected and guaranteed by the Constitution for the United States of America of 1787, with the ratification of the Bill of Rights as, quote, further declaratory amendments and restrictive clauses, close quote, by Congress on March 1st, 1789, and then amended in 1791. Amendment 1 reads, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people, and here's the key part, to peaceably assemble and to, quote, petition the government for redress of grievances, close quote. And that's what we're doing. We're petitioning our government through SCOTUS, through this court case, of our grievances. And then it goes on to declare what the grievances are, right? This declaration gives perfect constructive notice. Quote, constructive notice in law creates an irrebuttable presumption of actual notice. Close quote. That's legalese, but it's powerful stuff. And then it goes on from there. It says, the Constitution for the United States of America was established in 1787 and then amended 1791. However, on March 1st, 1789, Congress ratified the Bill of Rights, and it goes on from there. And it quotes, it says, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others sustained by the people. In other words, you can't just make up laws. If it wasn't in the Constitution, it's not there. And those rights are retained by the people. So you can't make laws that would fight against that. And it goes on. It is a fantastic document that goes right to the heart of the issue. Do we have a constitution? Do we have an oath of office? And if we have an oath of office and we don't hold people accountable, 388 congressmen, including Biden, Kamala Harris, Pence, and Nancy Pelosi, they must be removed from office. They broke their oath by certifying an election in 2020 when there were people who had evidence that it had foreign actors, and they specifically had mentioned China, who had interrupted our election process to get an outcome that foreigners wanted, not the people. Wow. How did those people break their oath? Very simply. They just went along to go along. And that's the kind of people we need to remove from office. You know, people would say, well, gosh, what do you do if you remove Senator Mike Lee? That's my senator. I was so disappointed. Romney expected to blow it. He blew it.
Hey, hang on. Mike okay, Lee. I want to say Wanda in Texas pleasures 1,000. Thank you, Wanda. She matched my 1,000. So now I'm
Wonderful.
Looking for someone to match
Wonderful.
One is 1,000. Sue in Illinois pledges 1,000 in a memory of Florida, okay? Oh, well, thank you, Sue. Thank you, Wanda. There you go. Of what? The forest? Okay. All right. All I have is just two letters. Okay. Well, thank you again. And so, and Illinois pledges 1,000 in memory of Forrest. And Bonnie in San Diego pledges.
Her husband, I assume.
Pardon?
Probably your husband, right?
Yeah, probably. Bonnie in San Diego pledges 100. Thank you. All righty, very good. And so now I am down. I don't think you got these. Yeah, you did.
You
got them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much. All righty, now we're still about, right now we're 2,700 short of our goal. 2,700, and we have approximately 27 minutes left. How about that? 2,700, what's $100 a minute is what we need, folks. All right, there you go. All right, you can go ahead and pick it up where you left off there, Ken.
Well, if you don't mind, I just love this document that Darren, the legal mind behind the Brunson Brothers, has put together, and he let me kind of help out on the edges. Number three on here says, we the people created the Constitution. Therefore, we are the creators of our government. And if we are the creators of our government, then in simple terms, we are the rulers. We are the masters and the government is our slave. Or we are the employers and government is our employee. Government works for we the people and is subject to us. And whenever government disagrees with this or decides that we, the people, are subjects, then we have the right to abolish it and to institute new government that will be subject to we as their employers. How do you like that, Pastor? Is that good stuff?
That is. And, you know, who was it that said, when people fear the government, you have, what do you have? Tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have freedom.
Yep.
And
I think that was Jefferson, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we might want to. Yeah, it was Jefferson. You're absolutely right. Yeah, come to think of it. Yeah, and so we might remind the Supreme Court of that too. I think they need to hear from us.
Well, yes, please, people, just remember, we're all in this fight, And the best thing we could do to help push this thing over the edge is let the Supreme Court justices know that we, the people, care and that we're going to hold them accountable. I'll keep reading here. Oh, by the way, you can, once again, you can go to cedarhillscitizens.org and look at Article 3 about that. And later tonight, Article 9 will have details about how you can file electronically. But here we go. Number 4 says, we, the people, have commissioned government to secure our rights, quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, that would be God, right, with certain unalienable rights. By the way, it's unalienable. It's not inalienable. It's unalienable rights. That among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, the people, right? Close quote. These self-evident rights are unalienable, which means you cannot give them away and nobody can take them from you, including the judicial branch of the government or any branch of government. Individuals, courts of law, and other situations that grow into existence may have the means or power to violate, disparage, or construe your rights, but this does not mean that your rights were taken from us. It means that they were violated, and we have the right and responsibility to stop this violation. Therefore, Supreme Court, also, I think I'll skip that one. It's a long one. It's a little tedious if you're not familiar with the legal language. But I only jump down to a part where it talks about, by the way, this has the rules of the Supreme Court, Rule Number 22, and some other sites in it that require them to listen to us. And basically we're saying we don't really have to follow your rules per se. We're going to follow them. But the reality is you work for us, and we're here telling you our grievances. You need to obey the Constitution. That is our contract. In fact, the document talks about the contract, the oath of office being a contract. Here it is. It says, please be advised as your employer, Mr. SCOTUS, Mr. Supreme Court Justice, that you have a duty to me and the American people. This duty shall henceforth be noted as your quote-unquote contract that you have between me and the American people. The terms of the contract is outlined in the Constitution, which you swore to uphold, protect, and defend. The violation of your duty is known as an act of treason. The penalty for treason is serious. Title 18, Section 2381 says, quote, whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years or fined under this title, but not less than $10,000. And shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States, close quote. That means that once my good senator, who I even have in my documentary film called Miracles in God We Trust, Senator Mike Lee, I love his vigor for the Constitution, but he failed. That means that if he's removed from office, he wouldn't be able to serve as dog catcher because that would be a government position. And that's what needs to happen to those who break their oath of office. They're removed, and they can never serve again if charged under this Title 18, Section 2381. It's powerful stuff, this affidavit.
Okay, we're coming up to a break, and then when we come back, Joe and Ken and myself, we need to – let's talk about this. I want – you know, because – and I know – listen, boy, I have been out – I really spoke out against Mike Pence – and against people I knew, senators who I always liked, Marsha Blackburn. I could not believe that she stood down, that she did not stand up, and others who I thought for sure, you know, these people, you know, what's wrong with them? They, you know, they certainly would have stood up for what was right. All the evidence was they were standing right before Pence and that council with all of the evidence in their hand. And they refused to look at it. Now, I believe this, and we'll talk about this. I believe that they were just, ignorant of the Constitution. I don't think that that he understood. I think that he was believing the very, very bad advice he was getting from the corrupt lawyers. Okay, I want to say Dale and Stella in Union, New Jersey pledges 200. Dale in Hartville pledges 100. And Melvin in San Diego pledges 25. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she would see the light. Two souls were saved there, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finished preaching,
woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. Not just to please him.
Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know.
Not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son.
He is God the Son. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people in this world in for a really rude awakening when they figure that out, okay? Folks, he is God the Son, and this is why I wear a cap, a baseball cap all the time, and it says, "America needs Jesus." And sometimes, well, I wore that through the halls of Congress here a couple years ago on a hot summer day. And you ought to have seen the looks I got from some of these, from the squat. They didn't like that hat too much. They liked it about as much as they liked me, which wasn't at all. And so there you go. That was I wrote that song. Did you know that, Ken?
I did not.
That was me saying it.
Well done, sir.
The pretty voice was Miss Julie Daynor, and that the other one was me. And I wrote that song some years ago. And you know what? Here's something else. That's a true story. That song's a true story. I'll tell the whole thing someday as we go through this about what happened there, how that baby was saved that early in that dark, wintry morning. All right. Let me see. Phone lines 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Folks, we're coming down. We need, I think we're down to about 2,500, what we need, right? Okay. 888-677-9673. But we only have 15 minutes left. 15 minutes. We got 15 minutes left, so we got to hear from you. We got to get a couple people to match the thousands. Somebody needs to match. Let me see. Sue in Illinois. And who was it? That lovely lady in Texas. It was Wanda. Wanda says, so often Wanda has come through. And myself. So all three of us pledged 1,000. Can we get...
Beautiful.
If we can get maybe three more to pledge 1,000, it'll actually put us a little over. Three more. Can we get three more thousands? Or how about six more 500s? Okay. There you go. So we got to get it tonight. We're,
Pastor,
or if we just got about 3 or 4% of our listening audience to send in $20, we wouldn't have to have another fundraiser week for months, maybe a year or more.
If we got everyone that listening to this program to send in $20, we could triple the amount of stations we're on and never have to worry about it.
Yeah,
Pastor, I'd like to jump in. You've tried to stop me before. I'm homeless, you know, and we're in a 5-year battle running, and we're living on the kindnesses of friends. But I'd like to pledge $25, and it'll come in under Blue Moon Productions. And I think I'd like to ask for that red book. I'd like to learn a little bit about how good Baptist pastor looks at the Bible. I think that'd be fun to look at.
So, alrighty, we will send
I'll get back to you.
And we'll send you one of those CDs with those songs that we have on there. And
excellent.
Also, I will send you the book by Dr. Cass.
Excellent. Thank you.
The Force, How to Survive Forced Vaccinations. And boy,
very good.
Today you need that for sure.
Ken, I've got something for you. Way back in the early days, the U.S. Supreme Court had a ruling, U.S. Supreme Court 382-442. It is not the function of our government to keep the citizen from falling into error. It is the function of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error.
I like it.
Yeah, it's true. The things when you were reading in that declaration, I had written a book long ago for Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, a college course.
Oh, good group.
On the foundation of the Republic. And you were quoting things that were very familiar to me, but I realized our listeners had very little idea of some of the things that you were reading because it has been a long, long time since the Constitution was taught in the public school system.
In fact, years ago,
I was on the radio telling people how you could go to all of the top law schools in the country, graduate, and never have read the Constitution or the Declaration.
That's a fact. That is
and
a fact.
We
they,
have a nation, when the Bible says, you know, my people will suffer for lack of knowledge, we have a nation that's ignorant of our founding, the history of our founding, the Constitution, what was made up, the debates and the Federalist Papers. We are so ignorant of our own past that that's why this new garbage is coming into our schools, the communism, the socialism, the Marxism, the white, all this racism, everything, because the people do not understand the foundation of this nation. And a lot of that you were talking about in the declaration there at the citizens, CedarHillCitizens.org, in your petition, it was just standard stuff that children back in the early 1900s all knew. Children today have no idea.
That is so true. And thank you for being a part of Eagle Forum. One of the we've been kindly taken in by so many different people. One of them was one of the leaders of Eagle Forum in Utah, and
it's amazing the good people who understand the word of the Lord, the Constitution that actually reflects the word of the Lord and protects the individual's rights from the majority. And Eagle Forum has always been really good. Thank you for your service.
Well, you're talking to an old guy because Phyllis herself called and asked me to write one of the courses for Eagle Forum University. Andy, her son Andy, was the first. I was the second to put a course up on that website. Now, that was a long time ago, my friend.
Well, let me just tell you, Pastor Joe, Phyllis Schaffley called me and asked me if I would help her to overturn that, what they call the woman's, what was it, the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes, you're right.
And everybody was laughing at us because I had her on the radio program, and people were laughing. You guys got no chance of stopping that. No chance. That's the movement, the woman's movement. And you know, I said, what do we got to lose? We got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Let's fight, and we fought. Yeah.
Great.
That's why she's the grand dam of the conservative movement. She's quite a lady.
Yeah, she was real lady, a real lady, Phyllis was.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing when people like Phyllis Schlafly, and I believe she's passed away, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, several years ago.
It's now time for all of us to do our part. All she did was sort of rally people to do their part, and we get to do our part today. We can help save the Constitution by using the Constitution. And by the way, it's the most peaceful way possible. These enemies of our country are literally trying to kill us all right now with the vaxxers, with the poisons in the trains, with the balloons, with all the different attacks that we're suffering. And we literally are at war, but people don't see it. But we are at war, and this war will get worse and be way more bloody and cost millions of lives unless we do the simple thing, the easy thing, and that's to use the Constitution and require that they uphold their oath of office. And if it means that we lose 388 congressmen, so be it.
All righty. I've got to say this, Joe, that we have Melvin in San Diego pledges 25. Ken Cromer, who's with us, pledged 25. And Walter and Tanya in Boston pledged 77. We have got approximately 7 minutes left. 7 minutes left to raise the, and I'm not quite sure how much, but I think it's close to about $2,000 we need.
$1,000, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And there's one thing that people have to understand first. This, first and foremost, is a spiritual battle.
Amen.
The battle, everything else is secondary. This is a battle between the Antichrist system and Christ himself. This is a spiritual battle, and it has to be started in prayer and obedience to God if we are to win. Then we turn to our Constitution, which is a, you know, document, very much a contract with God, a covenant with God. And that's our weapon, because that's our covenant with God that we must, but it has to start with our faith.
Amen. Could not argue with you at all on that. That is well put.
Well, Madison said this too, James Madison. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. The folks out there have to arm themselves with the knowledge of the Constitution, their rights, their inalienable rights that came from God, and that's where we start fighting, right?
And they've got to call in here and pledge, Joe, or we're not going to be on the station. They're listening to us right now. See, that's the reality. The reality is we don't get the money, we'll be off the station. So, folks, we need to hear from you. We got about 6 minutes left, and then we will be here till midnight. The phones will still be open till midnight. We'll need to hear from you. We want to say Jerome in San Diego pledges 200. Thank you, Jerome. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. We have to do this 1 week out of the month. We've got to raise the money But the rest of the month, we hardly ever mention, if ever.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And we've got, they've got to understand that we don't have sponsors. We don't do commercials. It's a partnership between Pastor Ernie and his team and you, the listener. Your donations pay the bills. So basically, this is a thing we have to ask you to prayerfully consider, the support. We cannot keep a station that does not pay for itself, or we can't write a check and pay the radio, the airtime bill at the end of the month. And so it's up to you. The fate is in your hands. You, the listener, the various stations out there, it's up to you.
Now, Joe, we sent out a newsletter, a very, very informative newsletter. And folks out there, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And in this newsletter that many of you will be receiving in the next day or two, and you'll be getting it because it's been mailed, went out Monday, so you should be getting it by tomorrow.
Yeah.
In there, there will be a list of those six stations and how much we need to get back on those six stations. A couple of them, it's hardly very much at all. But also, yep. There's a list of about 100 manufacturers, about 100 big corporations, about 100 corporations, folks, that support Planned Predator, support Planned Parenthood. And, folks, you got their addresses and their phone numbers. You can just call them and just let them know, you know what, I really wish you would not support Planned Parenthood. They've killed more human beings than any army in the world, and I will be much more likely to buy your product if you don't support Planned Parenthood.
That's a powerful approach, Pastor. It really is.
Yeah, we've had, you know, you've had just with a few phone calls, some of these companies have backed away and have quit supporting Planned Parenthood. And so now we have Patrick in Cleveland pledges 50. Thank you, Patrick. Go ahead, Joe.
You say, everyone out there. Ken, I've got one more for you. U.S. Supreme Court, 1956. Because of what appears to be a lawful command on the surface, many citizens, because of their respect for what only appears to be law, are cunningly coerced into waiving their rights due to ignorance. 1956. And right now the people are ignorant. That's why they let this election slip by. That's why a lot of them wouldn't vote, even the Congress critters, senators, because they even didn't understand the Constitution, the power it has for the people, and how important the rule of law is. And right there, they understood well in 1956, just because it might appear to be legal, the ignorance is what causes us to allow the evil to flourish, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
How much time do I have there, Kyle? All righty, very good. All right, folks, I'm going to give you that number one more time. It's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Very quickly, Ken, tell them how they can get on and sign on to that, to the affidavit. Ken?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just making sure my mute was off. I had a cough again. That's CedarHillsCitizens.org. CedarHillsCitizens.org. There's 9 articles there. Article number 3 is the affidavit that you can print out free of charge, put your name in it. Don't sign it until you get in front of a notary. But once you've signed it in front of the notary, make a copy, keep it for yourself, and then send that on into the Supreme Court yourself.
All right, very good.
Article
folks.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to be here till midnight. We're out of time for tonight. We'll be here till midnight. The phones will be, we got 6 people sitting back there on the phones hoping you'll call so we can not come up short again, because we really want to stay on the stations you're listening to us on. But God wants you to be 100% certain that when you die, you go to heaven. That's why the Bible says, these things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that's 1 John 5:13. So what must you do, what must you know from the Bible to be 100% sure? Well, one, you're a sinner and and don't deserve to go to heaven, that's for sure, but for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The only way you can pay for your sins is by spending eternity in hell, right? For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14. We can't do anything good enough on our own merit to merit heaven. So, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, Titus 3:5. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, but God commandeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:28, 5:8. Jesus not only died, but also rose from the dead. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Jesus freely offers salvation to you with no strings attached, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. You accept the gift of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing him with your mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. Then you are 100% certain simply by believing the promise of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. Do it tonight. Do it tonight. Alrighty, we are out of time for tonight. And how much time? What did you say? I missed you, Carl. Okay. All right, very quickly. Joe, you got 30 seconds. Ken, you got 30 seconds for final.
Final thing just with me is, folks, it's a spiritual battle. We start off in prayer asking God for mercy, for protection, and then he tells us what to run to the battle, fight the good fight of faith. He's allowed giving us a chance to lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven, and you only do that by joining in the battle, not by sitting and on the sidelines watching.
Go ahead, Ken. You've got 30 seconds.
Real fast, you bet. The Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We need our land to be healed. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is God's promise, and that he'll heal our land if we'll do our part.
Amen. Folks, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Help us stay on the station that we're on so that we can keep fighting to take our country back. Again, one nation, the way God gave it to us. One nation under God. We are out of time for tonight. So as we do every night at this time, we say good night. God bless. Get ready. Always. Let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.